Call to order, 48-hour notice, opening statement. Pursuant to NJSA 10-4-10, notice of this meeting being held on Tuesday, July 15, 2025, has been provided by publication in the Asbury Park Press, the Co-Star, and posted in the Borough Hall of Manasquan and in the schools within the time limit prescribed by law. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Mr. Boldeman?
Here.
Mr. Carnahan?
Here.
Mr. Catani?
Here.
Ms. Kavanaugh? Mr. D'Ambrosio? Mr. Dibble?
Here.
Mr. Libretto?
Here.
Mrs. Malone?
Here.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Here.
Mrs. Pollock?
Here.
Mrs. Serena?
Yes.
Mayor Quorum? Can I have a motion to adjourn to executive, for the first executive session of the night to discuss confidential matters per statute or court order, specifically the BOE vacancy? Mr. Libretto, Mr. Pellegrino, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So we opened the meeting up at 5 o'clock and we went to executive session. So we're going to have a motion to reconvene the public meeting. Mr.
Yes.
Libretto, Mr. Serena, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Mr. Boldeman?
Here.
Mr. Catani?
Here.
Mr. Carnahan?
Here.
Mr. Catani?
Here.
Ms. Kavanaugh?
Here.
Mr. D'Ambrosio? Mr. Dibble?
Here.
Mr. Libretto?
Here.
Mrs. Malone?
Here.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Here.
Mrs. Pollock?
Here.
Mrs. Serena?
Here.
Mayor Quorum?
Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge of Allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mission statement. Manasquan School District empowers all students by providing a safe, healthy, and inclusive environment where continual growth, perseverance, and rigorous academic standards are balanced with extensive extracurricular opportunities and rich tradition through partnership with community. Statement to the public. Oftentimes, it may appear to members of our audience that the Board of Education takes action with very little comment and in many cases by unanimous vote. Before a matter is placed on the agenda at a public meeting, the administration has thoroughly reviewed the matter with the superintendent of schools. If the superintendent of schools is satisfied that the matter is ready to be presented to the Board of Education, it is then placed on the agenda at the next combined committee of the whole and regular board meeting. The members of the board work with the administration and the superintendent of schools to assure that they fully understand the matter. After discussion during the committee of the whole portion of the meeting, the matter is focused on during the regular public board meeting agenda and presented to the Board of Education for a vote. Now we're going to move to the presentations.
So we're sorry to interrupt your summer. I know this meeting isn't always as popular as it is tonight. Seems we have another state championship here at Manasquan. So we're here tonight to recognize boys lacrosse team for their overall state championship. Congratulations, a little round of applause. Just to recognize their accomplishments, their final record was 20-4. They are the overall Group 2 state champions. They were the Group 2 South State sectional champions. They were the NJSIAA state tournament. They had 5 wins, 77 goals, and only 20 against. Defense wins championships for sure. And they did an excellent job in the Kearse Cup, formerly the Tournament of Champions, where they had a big victory and had a tough loss there. Against one of the best teams in the state. I watched a little of that match, and you guys should be very proud. And it starts with your coach. Coach, come on up.
Thank you very
Coach, anything for everybody here just to say about the boys?
Just like to thank the board for the recognition. Appreciate all the support. The administration, athletic director, principal, thank you for all your support. Parents, players, great job. Congratulations.
Looks like you had a lot of help here, so we'll bring them up if they were able to make it tonight. Coach Byrne, Kevin Byrne. Tim McNamee. Ryan Kalman. Dan Dingwall. Wayne Malone. Devin McNamara. Alex Mulholland. And Perry Wagner. Round of applause again for our coaches. Coach, can you help our board president,
yes,
Mrs. Pollock, hand out for your guys? I'll call their names out. Christopher Accurso. Ryan Aldi. Logan Baumack. Maddox Bassman, Christopher Accurso, okay, Barbara Bassman, Ryder Boyle, Chris Burlington, James Paddock, Thomas Canning, Christopher Carhart, William Conway, Cooper Daly, Nicholas DeMarco, Joseph Detlinger, Ty Donahue, MJ Feminella, James Fogarty, Patrick Cross, Dean Hendrick, Martha Barnes, Colin Height, Luke Herbert, Dax Klein, Daniel Noble, Jake Coop, John Pump, Brandon Coons, John Lee, Lucas Longo, Patrick Loxley, Dylan Liu, Casey Mahoney, Ambrose Masonis, Kelly Mulligan, Blake Murray, Jack O'Reilly, Mason Schlafer, Kieran Schneider, Matthew Schneider, Frankie Tackett, This is your 2025 Manasquan High School Board of Trustees. Get a photo, little photo op.
We did it.
You got to squeeze real close together.
You guys in the back.
Gotta get tighter.
I've heard the challenge people in the front.
They didn't want to do that.
Kevin, you and I are going.
Oh, so we're going to have a nice take a 5-minute break. Please enjoy some refreshments.
So now we're
going to
move to the rest of the presentations.
We're going to have some required data that we have to present each year. I'd invite Dr. Kokoda, principal of the high school, up, and Mrs. Mineta from Fletcher Elementary School. And as you're sitting down and getting set, I wanted to congratulate you on your graduation ceremonies. They were outstanding, some of the best I've ever been a part of, and thank you for going the extra steps for all things Manasquan, and feedback was outstanding ceremony, so thank you for that.
So, I second that. The graduations were really wonderful. Both of them were really, really special and nicely done.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate that. They deserve it.
Absolutely.
All right, thank you, good evening. We'll be chatting for a few minutes about the New Jersey Graduation Proficiency Assessment and our spring 2025 results. So, as a quick summary, state statute requires all grade 11 students in the state of New Jersey to sit for the New Jersey Graduation Proficiency Assessment. It measures the extent in which students are what the state deems graduation ready in both English and mathematics. So for ELA, or English Language Arts, it's aligned to the grade 10 standards, and math is aligned to Algebra 1 and the Geometry standards. And graduation readiness, as we'll see in a few minutes, is reported separately for each component. So they measure whether or not a student's graduation ready in both categories, ELA and math. So each year, the state establishes a cut score, assuming the State Board of Education, as to what is passing. So traditionally it's 725, and it was no different for the spring 2025 administration. So for those students who do not meet the passing score, we're able to take additional steps to ensure that we can attest that they are graduation ready. So either they retake it this summer or in the fall, we utilize different tests that the state approves as substitutes for the New Jersey Graduation Proficiency Assessment, or we complete a portfolio appeal. And through those three, for the class of 2025 who took this in 2024, we were able to successfully get all the students that didn't pass previously to meet the graduation requirement. So thank you to the team, not only for this year's administration, but for those that had to retake or complete the portfolio appeal. So this chart here shows the comparison of Manasquan High School to the state. So proud to announce that our students achieved 78.9% passing rate compared to a 58% for the state, right where we should be. And that would be in math. And then in ELA, super high, which is great. So a credit on both sides in ELA and math, credit to not only the teachers from grade 10, but all of everything that leads up to it. So certainly a combined effort. So in ELA, 92.3% passed compared to the state average of 80.7. Taking a quick look at the mathematics proficiency, obviously as we said, it was 79.9%, and 78.9%, excuse me, and then 21.1% were not graduation ready, as outlined by this test. That's significantly better than statewide, which 42% of students across the state did not pass. So we were on the right side of that equation as well. Jumping over to ELA, you'll see that as we discussed before, 92.3% passed, which meant only 7.7 didn't, and the statewide was just under 20%. So our students are achieving, and gives us a good framework as to how we can help those that didn't meet the standard just on this test. So to take a quick look at some school level outcomes, which we are required to report out on, in math. And ELA, there are four different categories. Students from a Hispanic or Latino background, economically disadvantaged, students with IEPs, and students with 504s. So this gives us a good breakdown as according to the test, whether the students are or are not graduation ready in these different categories. So in a few moments, I'll be able to discuss some interventions and plans that we're going to put in place to help those that were on the wrong side of these scores. So to highlight some notable achievements, something we're really proud of, and once again, thank you to our students for obviously taking the tests with fidelity, to our teachers for administering the test, the counselors for doing everything they do behind the scenes, and then, so we are proud to announce that out of the 250 students on the ELA side, 20 received a perfect score of English. So, students, obviously, we talk to them about how important the assessment is, they'll only go as far as they'll take us. And so very proud of those students that achieved the perfect score on that side. We demonstrated proficiency gains among student subgroups. That would be students with disabilities and multi-language learners. Compared to state averages, so it's something we want to note. And then we had a significantly higher percentage of students that are at or above the state graduation benchmark compared to the average of other schools. So, the benchmarks are set, and as you saw, everything we do with excellence, so not only did we meet them, we exceeded them. And quickly to talk about some intervention strategies, part of the reporting that we get back, one of those is what's called as evidence statement analysis, right? So I use two examples here, supporting claims with textual evidence, that would come from the ELA test, or solving equations with rational numbers, right? So these would be specific skills that are then outlined that enable us to now turn and work with our teachers that, okay, our students in this class, for example, didn't do so well in the standard that requires them to solve equations with rational numbers. Okay, so then that'll then dictate some small group instruction, or just in general, lesson planning, small group instruction, and really target the things that the students didn't do so well on the test. So that's the first part. So that'll be some early and often work with our teachers and our PLCs. And this enables us to talk about it, right? So, you've heard us say data dialogues before, so that allows us to use this data to adjust curriculum maps and pacing in the future. So oftentimes we'll look back at a school evidence statement and realize that maybe we didn't spend a lot of time in particular on a certain standard, right? So it allows us to kind of reassess where we should be spending the bulk of our work to ensure that the students are gaining knowledge to meet the criteria set on this test. Finally, as we're working to build our RNRS and RTI team to help the in-class support, pull-out resource, intervention, and lab teachers with personalized strategies for struggling students. So, gives them basically a toolkit as they as the teachers are working with the students that here they didn't meet on whether it's supporting claims of textual evidence, for example, or equations of rational numbers. Here are areas in which this particular student didn't do so well, and now the teachers can work exactly on those with them. So those are three things, analyzing evidence statements, having data discussions, and developing student-specific support plans that we're gonna do to ensure that all the students who took the test, but maybe didn't meet the benchmark that we had hoped, aren't left behind. All right, and that brings us to the end, Mr. Goodall.
Okay, so roughly 250 students, and they're all successful one way or another. This year, graduating class, I hate to put you on the spot, but I know we do the testing, then we do makeup testing, another opportunity, and then a portfolio assessment, which isn't easy to do. Mm-hmm. But we're pretty confident everybody made it. And
We were able to.
So no students were left out because they didn't make state requirements.
Right, and it's just a snapshot in time, right? It's one day in which they're completing the assessment, and for those that do complete the portfolio appeal, we complete those in generally February. It allows us to submit them to the state, and we, as I said before, we got back that everybody passed. So, we do appreciate the fact that, you know, maybe the student didn't do so well in a particular test that day, or they had to take makeup testing, and their other things were just on their mind, or just it gives them a different opportunity to show that they do know, and they do have the skills to succeed. So. Thankful to the team that they were able to administer that, and congrats to the kids.
Okay. Yep. Any questions?
How long? I'm not sure how long this test has been in existence, but do we track each year? Have our scores improved or changed in terms of proficiency the first time we give the test in ELA and that?
Yeah. So. We kind of knew it as the high school proficiency assessment, right? They get different names, but they're essentially kind of in the same ballpark, right? The reporting out of this is just the class of 2026, right? The current juniors, right? So though this wouldn't be an assessment that they got tested as sophomores, right? The comparison wouldn't be between students, right? What the important part is the between years. It's what I was talking about before, and just in terms of how are we adjusting the curriculum for this, right? So if we see a pattern where, for example, fractions, right? We're not doing so well in fractions, and that's been a historical trend. That allows us to make sure we're adjusting our pacing and the things that we're doing in class, and not just forgetting about it, right? When that pattern is developed, and that's one of the things that I think is going to come out of the PD that we're doing this year, is that these are targeted, right? It's not just things that are pulled out of the air. We see the pattern that we haven't achieved, and then this is something that could be implemented, and maybe the class coming in has succeeded in that, but it's important to ensure that it's still embedded in the curriculum because it is an area in which we've been lacking.
Thank you.
Sure. Anyone else? Mrs. Bonetta.
Hi, everyone. So as most of you probably know, I also serve as the district's supervisor for our ELL department. They're really known as MLLs now, multilingual learners. So part of my responsibilities in that role is to make sure that I report out on our access test results on an annual basis. And access is the annual exam that all of our multilingual learners take that demonstrates their English language proficiency. So separate from the NJSLA, separate from the NJGPA, which is measuring their high school readiness, this is really about their language acquisition process. So I'm not going to read all of this to you, but the goal of the test is really to measure listening, speaking, reading, vocabulary, writing, and grammar. And so as we prepare the students for testing, we're always making sure that we're hitting upon in our curriculum and instruction at both the elementary and the high school level, all of the pieces that are going to help the students to be successful. So the access test is based on what's called the WIDA standards, and WIDA is the governing organization that deals with multilingual learners. And the aspects of the exam are social and instructional language. So some of that is just the functional language that we use every day, but also the language that you need to be successful in an academic setting. And then there's specific language related to the content areas of language arts, math, science, and social studies. So just taking a look at our results from this year, this is our K-8 students. We had 10 total multilingual learners at Manasquan Elementary School from K-8. For the purposes of looking at this chart, what you're hoping to see is higher numbers in the 4, 5, 6, in the expanding, bridging, and reaching. So if you take a look here, it's broken down into the various aspects of the test: listening, speaking, reading, and writing. And then they also give composite scores. So the oral language score, for example, is a 50-50 blend of a student's listening skills and their speaking skills put together. Literacy is reading and writing 50-50. The comprehension is, I think, 70% reading and 30% listening. And then the overall score gives 35% each to reading and writing, and 15% each to speaking and listening. So just so you kind of know how those scores are tabulated. So at the elementary school, you know, we had two students who were really overall in the number one level. That's the entering level. But what you should know is that the two students at the number one level and the two students at the number two level, those are students who are in kindergarten and first grade. So it makes sense that those students are at that level, particularly because they are new to you know, the English language, but also because they're new to literacy in general, reading and writing. So actually I was very impressed with their writing already, you know, kind of developing at the pace that it is, particularly given the fact that they're spending so much of their mental energy still translating, right, from one language to another and also processing. So we did have really exciting results at the elementary school this year. All of our third and fourth grade students exited out of the program. They earned a 4.5. You have to earn a 4.5 composite score. So that's between expanding and bridging, if you think about it that way. And so all of our third and fourth graders were able to exit out of the program, which is amazing. Our goal as a department is to get the kids in, if we get them in kindergarten, that they're in the ESL program, kindergarten, first and second grade, and then hopefully they're proficient and can graduate out. So that's a really powerful goal for us to be setting, and that's because it allows those students after then second grade to receive such a wide variety of other services should they need them, right? Should they need basic skills, should they need, you know, a variety of things, that once we get the language acquisition under control, we can really see what other learning issues, you know, may exist. So we're making really good progress at the elementary school. I'm excited to see the speaking numbers starting to creep more towards the middle of the chart and below. One of the overall issues that we tend to experience with our multilingual learners is that they will sit back and sort of absorb a lot in class and not necessarily be practicing. And unless they're practicing the speaking all the time, it's hard for them to make that consistent progress. So Mrs. Nitter at the elementary school has really been working hard on making sure the kids are getting a lot of consistent practice and working with the classroom teachers to make sure that those kids are not being quiet for long periods of time in their classroom. So exciting results at the elementary school. For the high school, and I think I've talked to you guys about this before, it's a different population of students. We had 23 total students at the high school, which is obviously a significantly higher number. Also, many of these students are coming to us as their first, like, port of entry. So we are receiving students who are coming to the country, you know, for the first time, really have not had, you know, a baseline of English before they got here at the high school level. As you can imagine, it's pretty challenging to jump into high school level curriculum when you're also learning the language simultaneously. And in addition, you know, some of them have had limited and interrupted formal education in their previous setting. So we're working with a wide variety of students with a wide variety of needs. Ms. McCarroll at the high school is doing a wonderful job of supporting her students. She's really building in some foundational literacy pieces, which are helpful for people when they're missing them. She's very tuned into the needs of her students. So if you take a look here, again, we do have more students, nine and in entering and nine in emerging in their overall scores. But again, these are representative of students in their first, possibly second year of English language acquisition. So some of that makes sense. We did have one student from the high school exit this year, which was very exciting. It's a very driven student who's excited to, you know, get out of ESL and fill that role in the schedule with something else. So we love to see that. And we're really pleased with the progress that we're making. But again, it's just a little bit of a more complicated situation at the high school. So just to remind everybody, in order for a student to exit ESL, they need to have an access score 4.5. That's not the only way a student can exit the program. There's also another exam called the WIDA model, which is a one-on-one test that's given by the teacher, and they can take that at a midpoint of the year if they're close. So certain students, when we look at their scores and we see that they're close to that 4.5, we may give them the model somewhere along the line to see if they're ready to exit out. But you always triangulate that with other scores and evidence that the student is succeeding. We don't want to just say you did well on this access test, you're no longer receiving services in case you still need those, that level of support. Okay, so the teachers always make sure that they take a look at the whole student before they exit them out of the program. And then lastly, these are some interventions that we're putting into place. We take those access scores and we provide them to the teachers that will be having those students the following year. WEDA has these what they call can-do descriptors, so it takes a look at a student who scores a certain way, says these are the skills that they are capable of doing and performing in the classroom. Please be aware of these things that your student is capable of doing so that you're holding them to a high standard, and this is the next step that they should be working towards. So the teachers have that information. We continue to do professional development with the ESL teachers and Mrs. Knitter. She's really working on her speaking and writing with those students to continue those skills. And then we continue to expand our use of some great assistive technology in the high school to make sure that those kids can access the content. So teachers are using some of those translator earbuds to make sure that, and I think I talked to you guys about that in the past, to make sure that the kids are getting the content instruction in a language that they can understand while they're still learning English. And we're really emphasizing speaking and writing across the day to make sure that our students are continuing to practice those skills, because that's really the key to them moving forward in their language acquisition. As I'm sure any of you have tried to learn a language, it's great on paper, and oftentimes when you're listening, you can absorb more than you can, you know, get out when you're speaking. So those are just some key skills. So that's that.
Okay. Questions or comments?
Sure.
The test itself, as well as the exiting out of the program, mm-hmm. is that a state-driven model? Is that a
mandatory? It's a national. This is a national model. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the access test is taken by students all over the country in the spring, and then there's also usually a fall if they need it.
And the criteria for exiting out of ESL, is that similar? Is that based on the national model?
That's the national. Yep. WEDA sets that standard of the 4.5 on the access exam.
Have you found it to be, besides a requirement, have you felt it to be good, like that it works for our community and our program?
Oh, for sure, because I think it really gives us a glimpse. Most people are not able to look at a student who's in the language acquisition process and make a definitive judgment on what they can do in their reading, writing, listening, and speaking, right? Oftentimes, they'll look at a student who seems to be able to function pretty well with English, and they'll say, okay, they've got it, but there's pieces underneath that that maybe they're not really showing. So the test really helps us to kind of dig down in there, and it helps the teachers to be able, the data helps the teachers to be able to work with those kids.
Thank you.
Yeah, for sure.
I have one comment. It's tangentially related. It's not necessarily related to the test, but again, at graduation, to see all of the students who have the medals for the Seal of Biliteracy, is so impressive.
Yes.
I know that's something that you helped develop here, but really to celebrate the strength of that for the students who are able to get this and do have that skill of being bilingual in two languages.
It's an incredible skill set, right? It's an asset-based model, and I think that's really, it's a powerful thing for us to celebrate, you know, our community in that way, to say these kids have something that not everybody has.
Right, and you see it at graduation because they have the medal, and it's growing every year, so.
It's great. It's really exciting.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I recommend acceptance and approval of the minutes of the combined committee of the whole and regular public meeting and closed executive session of June 10th, 2025. Executive session minutes will be withheld from disclosure until such time as the reasons for disclosing and acting on a matter in closed executive session no longer exists. Can I have a motion to accept the minutes?
Yes.
Mr. Serino? Mrs. Cavanaugh?
Mr. Boldeman?
Yes.
Mr. Carnahan?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Carnahan? Kavanaugh? I'm sorry. Mrs. Kavanaugh?
Yes.
Mr. Dibble?
Yes.
Mr. Lopretto?
Yes.
Mrs. Malone?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollitt?
Yes.
Mr. Serena?
Yes.
Carried.
Public forum on agenda items. Time may be allocated for public comment at this meeting. Each speaker may be allotted a limited time when recognized by the presiding officer. In the event it appears the public comment portion of the meeting may exceed 45 minutes, the presiding officer may limit each statement made by a participant to 3 to 5 minutes duration. Individuals wishing to address the board shall be recognized by the presiding officer and shall give their names, addresses, and the group, if any, that they represent. Although the board encourages public participation, it reserves the right to its presiding officer to terminate remarks to and or by any individual not keeping with the conduct of a proper and efficient meeting. In order to ensure all members of the public who wish to participate are afforded a timely and orderly opportunity to do so, the board may not answer questions posed by those making comments. The board may address questions posed during this period once all members of the public wishing to speak have done so. The board will not respond to questions from the public involving employment, appointment, termination of employment, negotiations, terms and conditions of employment, evaluation and performance of, promotion or disciplining of any specific or prospective or current employee. This public forum is limited to comment on items included in this agenda only. Would anyone like to be heard? Seeing no one, would anyone like to be heard on items not on the agenda? Seeing no one, we will move to the discussion items.
Okay. Mr. Dibble, strategic plan.
We've all received a package, strategic plan action plans document on June 20th. That was revised and updated. You should have received it in your Friday package on the 11th, this past Friday. Review it. Any changes, inserts, questions that you have. Contact Robert Goodall. I believe our timeline is at our next meeting, presented from NJSB.
We're trying to get either Tim Tan, who helped facilitate our strategic planning, or Mary Ann Friedman, who he works with,
to attend
as early as August, and we may have to go to September.
But the plan would be to get it approved by the board sometime in September, the latest October. That's fair.
Okay.
And publicly available?
Well, after today. You can.
The draft.
Draft.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Any questions? Thank you.
Okay. Policy, Mr. Place?
Sure. The two policies that you see on the agenda tonight, one is an amendment of what is currently called our plagiarism policy, which will be renamed to academic integrity. And the other being the acceptable use of generative AI. We discussed these briefly at the June meeting as part of the recommendations from the district's AI committee this year. So nothing new here. We didn't do the first reading then, so this will be the first reading for the recommended second reading in August. But in short, the district AI policy is new and kind of outlines a framework for how the district sees student use of AI. What are the appropriate uses, you know, how teachers should engage and sign with students in AI, how students should use various parts of AI, use different aspects of AI, and the component policy then of that is the academic integrity policy, which has been updated to address the AI concerns that are surrounded with academic integrity, as well as just kind of an update in general. So that's what you see there. So in the academic integrity policy, you'll see it contains like 7 bulleted examples of different violations of academic integrity. That is not meant to be an exhaustive list, and that's why number 8 is a little bit of a catch-all that says other conduct determined by the principal that would compromise academic integrity of student work. So that's the what the academic integrity policy does. With the AI policy, it basically outlines the framework for what's being called an AI plan. We have put forth our draft AI plan. It's in the virtual handouts for the board tonight. That's not a document updated by the board per se, with a policy or anything like that. But it's meant to be more of a flexible kind of living document that through the superintendent and the administration can be updated periodically throughout the year. As we know, these things tend to change quickly. So with both of those, we'll be on our way to implementing the recommendations of that committee from last year.
Questions?
I have a quick one. So, I mean, the plan, is it basically saying this is what we're looking out for that we can't do? Or is it saying, you know, as a school district, these are the good ways to use it as well?
A little bit of both. Okay. Yeah, so I think the best way to look at the plan is kind of a handbook for teachers about how AI could be used appropriately and what tools, and we even have some parts of the plan that are like examples of which AI, like suggestions of which AI tools could be used for which purposes. There's another part of it of like suggestions for how teachers could instruct students on how to provide citations for, mm-hmm. you know, if they are using AI in an appropriate way. But then also the flip side is, you know, addressing some of the academic integrity concerns about how will it be handled if a student is using AI inappropriately.
Okay.
So it's all in.
Anyone else? Dr. Crowley?
Yep, just a brief update on construction. As you know, we have a number of projects underway this summer, namely five large ones. The first is the asbestos abatement of all carpeted classrooms that have asbestos underneath the either the carpet tiles or the VCT tiles underneath the carpet. That project is complete. All rooms have been cleared of asbestos and all environmental areas have been cleared through testing. That was kind of in the critical path of the next project, which is the flooring project, which is about 70% complete. We have all of Pod C replaced. And then moving their efforts over to the high school. The high school had a little more abatement that had to take place, so they're a little slower on that, but they're on schedule. So we anticipate the flooring project to be done probably by the next time we meet in August. The boiler replacement at the high school, or excuse me, at the elementary school, the two boilers that are being replaced began in earnest this week. Selective demo started taking place. They were waiting for some of the electrical work that you see out front on Broad Street to be cleared out so they could access the machines. That again is on schedule. We anticipate the boilers being started up before heating season on October 13th. You may have seen a crane here last week. That was a part of the ESIP project and the replacement of AC number 2, which is the air conditioning unit that cools the hundreds wings, namely the Broad Street side of the hundreds wings. So they lifted that unit, took it away. We currently have no air. We have some temp air measures taking place down in that hallway. It's unoccupied. All our ESY is up in Pod C, which has air. They're doing some structural steel reinforcement work over the next week or two. And when they get a decent shot after the steel is done and they get a decent run of leather, they need about 3 days to come drop the new system on and tie it all in. So you should be seeing crane back out front within the next 2 weeks. That's going to wrap up that piece of project completely once they start up that unit. And then finally, there's the H&S project. We have seen some significant progress and good effort on their part. We haven't met all the deadlines that were specified in that project, but this summer they seem to have hit the ground running. They're working on selective demo in the hundreds wings classrooms, as well as painting. Namely, painting is what they're doing right now. They'll come beyond that with floors, ceiling tiles, and some HVAC work to clean up. They have deployed and moved the air conditioning hardware associated with the replacement of MZ1 and MZ2, which is the unit on top of the gym over at MES. That's been sitting, you've probably seen it, was sitting behind the bleachers for the past year. They've now moved that over and it's being prepared for a crane lift, which should happen in the next 2 weeks or so. So all systems are go, everyone's on schedule to the extent that the most recent schedule has been provided by H&S. They didn't meet the specified timelines, but they're on schedule with their summer work, which is good. On a financial, related to construction, but a financial standpoint, there is a resolution tonight to approve the transfer of $230,000 in change that was generated by the referendum money into capital reserves. So it's just another benefit of the referendum is that it's generating funds through interest earnings that's going to go a long way. You know, maintaining the health of the equipment that we're actually purchasing. So that's it. That's going to be recommended for approval tonight. Any questions on construction project?
So the pay application that we're approving tonight is for?
That's payment application number 10 for H&S, you're talking
about? Yes.
That's the application is for the month of June. It's relatively small, as you'll see. As you know, they basically stopped work because we couldn't give them those next five rooms. So there wasn't too much going on in June. It's for punch list work that was taking place over that last month. and some preliminary procurement of materials and things that we're going to go in eventually into the 100 rooms classroom.
Where are we with locker rooms?
Locker rooms are in a punchless phase. They're going to be ready to roll for the fall season.
Right, right.
I mean, they're occupiable now. We have our certificate of occupancy. Okay. So,
we discussed actually having a tour.
Is our board still dressing outside, from what I understand?
I'm unaware of that. I would have to ask Don. I don't know if any dressing is taking place, right? It was summer. They're welcome to use locker rooms. I'll talk to Don if that's being, I don't know what's being communicated out. I don't know what teams are changing at this point.
I just got that from a resident, not from in the school. Somebody said they drove by and people were getting dressed outside.
I mean, we've got camps out there. It's possible some unrelated things to the district, but the lockers are all, the lockers
are at some point in late August, we'll have a tour set up, so if you're inclined to see all of the progress and what's completed, we could set that up in late August once we put everything back together.
Yeah, the only, in the locker rooms, the only thing that is affecting any kind of occupancy, I mean, there's nothing unsafe. They can occupy, we have our CO, but there is some air conditioning that has to be run to the coach's room and the boys' room. So they're working on that. They had to run some extra duct work. It was an oversight by H&S, so it's at no cost to the district. But that they're working on that. Other than that, I mean, the punch list is down to paint and, you know, mix, some radiator covers. I mean, nothing appreciable. So they can definitely occupy. I will discuss with Don if that's unclear. But in terms of students change, I mean, I don't even believe we have any active teams right now. So I imagine that might be a little cross camp or some other camp.
Superintendent's report. We have an enrollment as of today of 1,392 students. Our high school enrollment is 917, and elementary school 475. Both the high school and CLI building, along with the elementary school, satisfied the required safety drills for the month of June, on June 2nd and 10th, and for the elementary school, June 2nd and 10th. As well. Thrilled to report, we have no documented accusations or confirmed HIVs for the month of June. And a couple of items I just wanted to discuss. We had our data from some of our test scores. We got a report on our AP scores from this past year. And as you know, last year we got back to gold standing, a gold honor roll. With a one of the measurements was 75% getting of our students getting a 3 or above, and I'm proud to say we are now up to 81.6% up from that. So that's a dramatic jump. I know the next for honor roll is platinum, which is very difficult to get, but seems we are on our way. Dr. Kukuda, great job. Strategic planning. I was remiss during Bill's report to just mention that everything within the strategic plan is directly from the notes of all of those who participated in the three sessions, with some minor tweaking from the administrative team. So I just wanted to thank them again for their efforts in putting this together. It's a near complete document, but you know, it was just a great job and participation from the community. We are just from a calendar of events professionally, August 11th through the 14th, our teachers who are going to provide the professional development to their colleagues, the trainers, will be orchestrated by Go Teach Consultants, who we have training the trainers, and that is August 11th through the 14th. It's a pretty rigorous training that those teachers will go through, and then we'll begin our new differentiated professional development program when school opens up. So we're real excited about that. And then finally, the Manasquan Development Fund, through a great community event Friday night, first annual Squan Fest, and well attended. For the first time we had it, we had a great band, great food by a number of local merchants came with food trucks. We had some volunteers doing all types of things for kids, and there were a million Manasquan children kicking around beach balls and inflatable parrots, and it was just a great night. And I know next year's event, if we do the same thing, we'll just be even better. So all the feedback was great. So I thank all those involved with the Development Fund for putting that together for the community. And that is my superintendent's report.
Just a question. When you say in July's enrollment, is that with respect to enrollment for the first day of school?
That's as of today.
In the school, is that,
yes.
As of today, that's the enrollment.
So people are enrolled over the summer?
You could, that's subject to change. Yeah.
Correct.
And in August,
but that reflects graduation. And anybody,
yes, this
and
is current.
That's registered for,
yeah, yes. That's I'm sorry, Tom.
Because I'm comparing it to February, so that's why I meant. Yeah.
As of today, and subject to change.
No, I understand that. Yeah. But I mean, it's not, we're kind of holding, is what I'm saying, which is good.
Great place to be.
Yeah.
Any other questions or concerns? That is my superintendent's report.
I recommend approval and acceptance of the superintendent's report. Can I have a motion? Mr. Catani? Mr. Lopretto? Mr. Boldeman?
Yes.
Mr. Carnahan?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Ms. Kavanaugh?
Yes.
Mr. Bibble?
Yes.
Mr. Lopretto?
Yes.
Mrs. Malone?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollack?
Yes.
Mr. Serena?
Yes.
Carrie?
Does anyone need anything separated out on the Manasquan general items number 16 through 24? Can I have a motion for Manasquan items 16 through 24?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino, Mr. Serino?
Mr. Boldeman?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Dibble?
Yes.
Mr. Lopretto?
Yes.
Mrs. Malone?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollack?
Yes.
Mr. Serena?
Yes.
Carrie?
Does anyone need anything separated out on the Manasquan sending districts items numbers 25 through 63?
I have a question on 50. the listing, we're moving to a new provider on the insurance?
Yes, the rates for the student accident and safety came in lower and more aggressive, yes.
And so, but we have an additional excess E&O plan for $15 million. That's not on this list, nor is the excess liability. Or I may be missing something, I apologize. I just happen to be looking at it.
As compared to the prior?
No, what we're approving is the SAIF and Philly quotes. And we're adding some excess liability and excess E&O coverage. That's not on this list.
Let me review that. What we can do is certainly table that motion, and I can review it. I'm sorry, I don't have the answer off the top of my head right now.
I think we can approve.
Or approve what's
we can
on
approve
the agenda.
This and just come back
and do the balance of it. Yeah, maybe that's a better approach.
I have a question on 50 also.
Mm-hmm.
What basically was the suppliers with higher deductible options also on the package quote? That was requested at the meeting.
They did not come, yeah, they don't even supply this one. We can, again, revisit it with them if you'd like. If you want to table that, this was.
They're supposed to provide it, so. Mm-hmm.
So let's table it and we'll bring it back next month.
Sure, what we can do, I know we met with Vince, our provider, during budget time. If you want, why don't we table that and I can get another meeting with him and
a small committee
to review
everything
prior to its approval.
Yeah.
But the coverage ends June 30th, correct?
No, it's different for different plans. Okay. For example, the student accident does not need to be renewed till August.
Okay, all right.
So
we can get them in by August.
Yeah.
So can I have a motion for items number 25-49 and 51-63. Mr. LaFreda, Mr. Boulderman, anyone have any other questions on those items?
Number 51, is that the same amount as last year?
It's 2% increase.
We've done some analysis on that as well in years past, and it's, I think, a pretty fair.
That's why I asked.
Yeah, based on how many students they have participating. They actually have a pretty low enrollment, and it's more just available to them if they want it.
Anybody else? Okay. Mr. Goldman?
Yes.
Mr. Carnahan?
Yes.
Mr. Pitani?
Yes.
Ms. Kavanaugh? Mr. Dibble?
Yes.
Mr. LaFreda?
Yes.
Mrs. Malone?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollard?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Carrie?
Does anyone have any old or new business they'd like to raise? So I do have one thing. I forwarded you to all the email that I received from Mr. Ehrlich. So I don't know if anyone has any questions about that. But I think Mr. Goodall has more probably detailed answers for him, so I'll respond to him and let him know that Mr. Goodall will speak to him about his concerns. But if anyone has any questions, I just want to make the board aware of the email and give you an opportunity to speak to it if you want to.
Just on top of that, we have a great relationship with the rec now. It's running smoothly. The field house, use of all of our facilities, right, Pete?
Mm-hmm.
Feel good about that. And, I don't see any reason to change anything. But certainly, I've met with constituents and residents here about a number of our different facilities here, including Lower Turf Field House, and they always go away satisfied.
But he seemed to have issues, the speaker, I don't remember exactly, but it was that people are using the facility after hours.
We feel pretty confident that what we post and allow our residents, and in some cases outside people, to use our facilities is more than appropriate. Okay. And all means of being a good neighbor have been exercised in, the lower turf field and the field pass.
Thank you.
The facilities get a tremendous amount of use, and mm-hmm. people, and more shop-right conversation, but people couldn't be happier. I mean, parents, the recreation, the relationship, the recreation, probably has never been better. I mean, it's going very well, and yes, with use comes, I guess, additional concerns for some people, but I mean, it's just, it's been tremendous. I mean, people are, they're loving it.
And outside of maybe an individual concern, some of the residents who came, they're more concerned about parking when we have really big lacrosse matches to see tonight, and we're gonna provide them those days when those matches are going to occur. So they're ready for that.
When the facilities weren't as good, they got a lot less use and there was a lot less parking issues.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Can I have a motion to adjourn to executive session?
What I'm gonna do just before we adjourn, I'm gonna make a call to Vince Quill, maybe during executive session, because we do have a couple expiring. Coverages, and just we can maybe put it back on at after executive session, depending on his recommendation. So we can, before we go in, I just wanted to get that on.
Now, motion to move to executive session.
Yes.
Mr. Serino? Mrs. Kavanaugh?
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Can I have a motion to reconvene?
Yes.
Mr. Serino, Mr. Boulderman,
all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Mr. Boulderman?
Yes.
Mr. Carnahan?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mrs. Kavanaugh?
Yes.
Mr. D'Ambrosio?
Yes.
Mr. Dibble?
Yes.
Mr. Lefredo?
Yes.
Mr. Malone?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Pollak?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
With the quorum?
I'd like to open the floor to nominations for the appointment of a candidate to the Manasquan Board of Education vacancy. Any nominations?
Yes, I would like to nominate Marion Ahern.
A second. Any other nominations? Okay. Mr. Boltman?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Dibble?
Yes.
Mr. Lefredo?
Yes.
Mrs. Malone?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollak?
Yes.
Mrs. Serino?
Yes.
Does anyone, can I have a motion for Manasquan personnel item number 68? Mr. Lefredo, Mr. Pellegrino? Mr. Boltman?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Dibble?
Yes.
Mr. Lefredo?
Yes.
Mrs. Malone?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollak?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Carried.
Can I have a motion for Manasquan Sending District personnel item number 69? Mr. Catani? Mr. Lefredo?
Mr. Boltman?
Yes.
Mr. Carnahan?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Ms. Kavanaugh? Mr. Dibble?
Yes.
Mr. Lefredo?
Yes.
Mrs. Malone?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Staying on Thomas Pellegrino. Yes, Pellegrino.
Ms. Pollak?
Yes.
Mrs. Serino?
Yes.
Carried.
Can I have a motion to adjourn? Mr. Pellegrino, Mrs. Malone, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.